are Locked On Yankees, your daily New York Yankees podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are listening to the Locked On Yankees podcast, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Stacey Gottsoulias, and I'm the host of Locked On Yankees. I'm a baseball writer turned podcast host, and you may have read my work at places like Baseball Prospectus, the Hardball Times, Sporting News, and the ESPN Sweet Spot blog. You can find us on Twitter at Locked On Yankees, all one word. You can find us on Instagram at Locked On Yankees, all one word. And you can find me on Twitter at StaceGotts. Please feel free to tweet questions or comments to either account and leave comments on Instagram. If you're a new listener, hello and welcome. If you're a returning listener, welcome back. I hope you all enjoyed today's episode. You should enjoy today's episode because I will be recapping a win. I'll have all the information you need to know about last night's game. We will preview tonight's game against the Braves and more. But first, you can get Locked On Yankees and all other Locked On podcasts straight to your phone in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Yankees. Can you believe it? They finally won a game. It was so odd to see Aroldis Chapman get the last out and them celebrating a win on their home field. That five-game losing streak felt like it was 3 months long, which is ridiculous to even think about. But it's good that it's over. Hopefully this will be the start of something good. But I will say there were some problems in last night's game. Some of the issues that the Yankees have had so far this season reared their ugly head, but we'll go through all of it. So here we go. Let's go through all the numbers first before I recap the actual action here. So Jonathan Loaisiga actually got the win because he was the pitcher of record when the Yankees rallied in the eighth inning, which was nice to see. But the way they rallied could have been better, should have been better. But there were, see, that's the thing about the eighth inning. There were some positives about how the Yankees scored their runs, but there were also some negatives about how they didn't score more runs. But we'll talk about that. So let's go. Jameson Taillon pitched five innings. Wonderful. He's increasing his workload, I guess. They took him out at 80 pitches. Completely understandable. The man is coming back from Tommy John surgery. I wouldn't want to throw him into the fire either. The Yankees need him healthy. He's their number two starter. Same goes for Kluber tonight, coming back from all his different injuries. I would like to see Kluber repeat Taillon. Actually, I really prefer Kluber to pitch six or seven innings, but I don't think miracles actually happen. So Taillon pitched five innings, gave up four hits, one run. He walked one, struck out five. So good job by him. Now, on yesterday's show, I joked about Charlie Morton and how he was coming into last night's game with a 4.76 ERA and that it wouldn't matter against the Yankees. And I was right, because Morton pitched six innings, only gave up three hits, one run. He walked two, struck out six. Now, he did give up a home run, which was nice and shocking. That was the Urshela bomb to Monument Park. Thank goodness for him. But as I said, some of the problems the Yankees have had all season reared their ugly head. Team runners in scoring position stat, 1-for-8. They left 7 on base. And in that eighth inning rally, they had bases loaded, no outs. They scratched across 2 runs. Thankfully, there were walks involved. Aaron Hicks came in. He got a walk. There was a wild pitch while Clint Frazier was up. Mike Ford walked in a run. So that was good. We won't discuss the mustache, but he might have to keep it now because of that. But there are other problems with the Yankees and their strategy at the plate. How about that? Gary Sanchez is up. You got all these runners on base. You're trying to open up the lead because it's 3-1 at that point. Instead of swinging for the fences, why not just try to get a simple hit? I don't like this philosophy that they have, that they're just swinging for the fences every time they're up. Try and get a single. What's wrong with a single? Maybe you'll inside out a ball and hit a double that splits the outfielders. You never know what's going to happen, but stop swinging for the fences in that situation. Because of this losing streak and because of the way that they've been playing, they're all swinging out of their shoes when they're in situations like this. Well, not them all. There are only a few guys doing this, but it's just, it's frustrating to watch that. That slogan, chicks dig the long ball, is over 20 years old now. Some chicks that I know dig doubles. Bases loaded doubles that clear the bases. They dig that. Try that next time. I know I'm making it seem as if it's just so easy to come up to the plate and hit a double, but just, I don't know, change your approach. That's how you're going to win games. That's how you're going to rally for more runs. I feel like Aaron Boone maybe needs to show this team stuff that they've done in the past. Maybe show them that inning against Houston in the 2017 ALCS when Gary hit that opposite field double that split the outfielders and Judge got a hit and all these guys just kept coming up and hitting the ball. I know he wasn't the manager then, but I feel as if these guys need to be reminded of what they're capable of doing. Now, offensively, the Yankees only had 5 hits last night. DJ LeMahieu had 2 of them. Judge had 1. Urshela had the other 2, one being that big home run against Morton. And I say big home run because at this point, with the way the Yankees are playing, it was a big home run because it tied the game. And it made them feel as if maybe they could pull something off at some point. And quietly, DJ LeMahieu's average is up to 300. So DJ LeMahieu is becoming DJ LeMahieu again. Gary Sanchez was 0 for 4 with no strikeouts, which is good, but he popped up the ball in that one at bat last night where the bases were loaded, and it was just so annoying to watch. I nearly threw something. And I know, I'm the one who practices Zen baseball, but it was just frustrating because when they came up with bases loaded and no outs, I joked on Twitter, so they're not going to score any runs, right? And then they did, thankfully, to Nate Jones throwing that wild pitch, Mike Ford walking, you know, Aaron Hicks walking, pinch hitting and walking, and then scoring a run. So, you know, again, good things from that rally and bad things from that rally. Aaron Hicks looked more like Aaron Hicks. He was more selective at the plate. He walked. That was good to see, but not good to see guys swinging for the fences when they shouldn't have been. In a moment, I will have clips from Aaron Boone and Jameson Taillon about last night's game. But first, it's time to talk about Built Bar. And guess what? Coconut Brownie Chunk is back in stock. You can order it right now if you want to. And as I say on nearly every show, you should, because it was voted the best Built Bar flavor for a reason. Because it is one of the best Built Bar flavors. Again, mint brownie is my all-time favorite. I don't think anyone will supplant that flavor for me, but coconut brownie chunk is a very close second. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. I tell you this all the time. They're covered in 100% chocolate, whether it be dark chocolate or white chocolate, depending on the bar. They're soft and easy to chew. They're great for the health conscious person. They're great if you want to lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're great for the keto diet. And right now, if you go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, you'll get 15% off your next order. That means next, not first. So if you've ordered 25 boxes of Built Bars, you can still get the 15% off. Again, Coconut Brownie Chunk is back in stock. It'll probably be sold out soon, so get on it as quickly as possible. Order that bar. I would not steer you wrong. It is one of the best things I've ever eaten. This is not hyperbole. It is so good. Again, go to BuiltBar.com, use the promo code LOCKED15, and you'll get 15% off on your next order. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and the Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page to watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft beginning April 29th and running through May 1st. So as I said, the turning point of last night's game, obviously, was the 8th inning when the Yankees were able to score those 2 runs. Aaron Hicks walking was a big deal. Mike Ford walking was a big deal. Aaron Hicks scored on the wild pitch that Nate Jones threw while Clint Frazier was up. So It was almost like a full circle sort of thing, and considering Hicks didn't start the game, he was working on some stuff, and they put him in, and he did that. It's a good first step. This is a first step. I mean, the Yankees are still 6-10 on the year. They're still not looking like the Yankees. And in the episode yesterday, when Jeff Ellis and I were talking about the Yankees and the Indians, he mentioned how most of the Yankees are underperforming, and they're still, at that point, they were still 5-10. He said, with the way the Yankees have been underperforming, they probably should have been worse. So that's a good sign for everyone who watches the Yankees, because once they kick back in and become more like the Yankees, they'll start rattling off wins. Speaking of rattling off wins, the A's started 1-7 on the year. They're now 11-7 after a 10-game winning streak. So if the A's can do that, the Yankees could do it. You never know. And as I've said, the 5-10 start by the Yankees is more magnified because it's the start. If this stretch happened in August, while it would be frustrating to watch, it wouldn't have been this magnified. But right now, they have a chance to build on last night's win. Gio Urshela said about the game, it was important. I think it's really important to get the confidence back and try to keep that good for the rest of the season. And Aaron Boone even said about the eighth inning, which is what I said about the eighth inning. Even though we didn't break it open, there were a lot of really good things that happened last night. We had some winning at-bats there in the eighth inning to grab the lead. It was a good effort and a good step. Hopefully it's something we can start to build on. Wow, I have the same thoughts as Aaron Boone. I don't know if I should be scared or if he should be scared. Honestly, I think he should be scared. So as I said, Jameson Taillon pitched 5 innings. It was his best start of the season so far. And this was following his 3 2/3 inning effort against the Blue Jays, in which he didn't look that great. And he held Atlanta to 1 run on 4 hits over those 5 innings. Again, his pitch count was closely monitored. They took him out after 80 pitches. I have no issues with that. Like I said at the beginning of the show, I am all about keeping Jameson Taillon healthy. He's their number 2. That's the most important thing right now. Taillon said about his stuff, I thought the stuff was really good tonight. I thought it was crisp. What I was most excited about was the stuff I worked on between innings showed up today. We had a good idea of where the top of the zone was, and I threw way more curveballs. We got that pitch really involved in the game plan. And just so you know, he threw 16 curveballs last night. Now, Gio Urshela said about Charlie Morton, we've been facing Morton a lot the last 2 or 3 years. He's got pretty good stuff. He's a veteran pitcher. He knows how to pitch. I'm just trying to make good contact with the ball in the strike zone. That's all I'm trying to do. Again, he hit a very big home run there in the 5th inning into Monument Park. After Taillon left, the bullpen stepped up. Lucas Leckie, Chad Green, and Justin Wilson were the bridge. Green and Wilson each recorded key outs to escape a bases-loaded one-out jam in the 7th. So the Braves seem to have bases-loaded issues like the Yankees do. Justin Wilson said, I've never been on a team that wants to win so bad. I'm so excited for what we've got going on. I really think it was just an eye-opener last week. We've got a lot of great arms down there, a lot of different weapons. Take it one game at a time and give it what you got. I love all those cliches by baseball players, but he's right. This is a long season. Last night might be step one in a total recovery for the Yankees, and maybe they'll put this horrible stretch of baseball behind them. But it is baseball, and even good teams have more than one horrible stretch in their season because it's just so long. Things happen. Guys hit the wall at certain points in the season. You know, the 98 team, whew, those last few weeks, my goodness, they just looked awful. So let's preview tonight's matchup, which is Corey Kluber against Ian Anderson. This is a quick 2-game series against the Braves. Then the Yankees head out to Cleveland for a 4-game set. And part 2 of my conversation with Jeff Ellis of Locked On Indians will be on tomorrow's show, because I will treat tomorrow as a preview for the Indians series. But right now, let's talk about Ian Anderson and Corey Kluber. Anderson allowed 3 home runs in his final spring start. He surrendered a .448 slugging percentage through his first 3 starts of the regular season. He allowed just 1 home run over 51 innings and surrendered a .230 slugging percentage over 10 starts, which includes the playoffs last year. So he's having a bit of trouble. He doesn't have a win or a loss on the season yet. He has 38 strikeouts overall. His ERA is 4.70. So again, we have another guy coming in with a bloated ERA. We'll see what the Yankees lineup does against him. And this will be interesting to watch because most of the guys have not faced him. Mike Ford has faced him twice. Hicks has faced him three times. Tauchman three times. And no one has gotten a hit off him. Kluber has not completed five innings in any of his three starts so far this season. He threw 77 pitches his last time out against the Blue Jays. He allowed three runs on six hits over four innings. He's permitted 16 hits in 10 and one-third innings of work. He's 0-2 so far with a 6.10 ERA and 24 strikeouts on the season. Will the Yankees take advantage of Ian Anderson having issues with extra base hits and home runs? Or will the Braves take advantage of the fact that Corey Kluber can't complete five innings? We'll see. And as for the Braves' possible hitters, we'll see who's in the lineup tonight, but let's see. Freddie Freeman has faced Kluber five times, has not gotten a hit off him. Adrianza has faced him five times. He's gotten a couple hits off him. Ozzy Albies has gotten a few hits off him. Not many, or a very small sample size here. In a moment, Aaron Boone will discuss last night's victory, what he thought about everything. But first, BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. You can bet on the NBA, you can bet on the NHL, you can bet on baseball. And speaking of the NBA, the Knicks have won seven games in a row. They've won more games in a row than the Yankees have won overall. What a role reversal. BetOnline even covers award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. You still have time to bet on the Oscars if you want. You get real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Just head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today, and you'll receive a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's 50-5-0. That's probably one of the biggest discounts you can get anywhere. Just use the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. The Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Locked On and Odyssey, is happening now, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Jason LaConfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team are making trades and picking the next stars of their team. Search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports, podcasts, music, and news that matter to you. That's AUDACY. Aaron Boone spoke to reporters after last night's victory, and here's some of what he had to say.
Aaron, I know you've continually voiced your confidence in this team and their ability to get back on track, but is there an element of relief after snapping that five-game losing streak?
Yeah, definitely feels, look, you know, one of the best things about, you know, being a ball player or a manager or a coach is you pour so much into the job and the everyday that, you know, at the end of the day, it's about shaking hands and being a part of something that a lot of people had a hand in. And I felt that way tonight. So it's definitely nice to get it going, you know, against obviously a tough opponent and a really tough pitcher on the mound for them in Morton, who I thought threw the ball really well today. But a lot of guys, you know, even though we didn't break it open or you know, there were a lot of really good things that happened tonight, obviously on the mound, starting with J-Mo. But, you know, there were some competitive things that happened that allowed us to win a well-played ball game, and that's nice.
That is nice. It's very nice, winning ball games. Remember when the Yankees used to do that on a regular basis? It was so nice to watch. Every time they call Jameson Taillon J-Mo, I think of Ramo from Beat Street, and if you're old, you'll get that reference. If you're not old, look it up. Watch that movie. It is such an 80s treasure. Anyway, yeah, that's where my brain goes. Just like whenever Darren O'Day comes into a game, I hear Undercover Angel by Alan O'Day in my head because this is the way my brain works. Here's more of what Boone had to say about last night's game.
When you say competitive things that have happened, what specifically stands out to you as a step in the right direction?
You know, I thought we had some really good kind of winning at bats there in the eighth inning to grab the lead. I thought especially as the game wore on, I thought there were some real stronger at bats against Morton, who I thought was on his game tonight. You know, we made some plays in the field. You know, every pitcher that came in, and of course, J-Mo, I thought made a lot of really good pitches in some big spots. You know, we got out of a couple jams. So just, you know, it was a good effort and a good step, and hopefully, you know, something that we can start to build on.
Then he was asked, what impressed you about Tyone?
I thought the stuff was really good again and maybe ticked up again. You know, thought he worked the top of the zone with his fastball. We saw some 93, 4, 5 consistently. I thought he mixed in his slider really well tonight, shaped some really good curveballs, was fairly pitch efficient. You know, after, you know, that pitch count, I think, got up on him a little bit in the third and maybe fourth, and then came out and had a really strong inning there. Actually, it might have been in the fourth where he was really efficient. And I thought pitched really well for five innings, you know, against a good hitting team.
Here's Jameson Tyone talking about his start. And I realized I screwed up the quote I read earlier, but this is what he actually said.
Yeah. I thought the stuff was really good tonight. I thought it was crisp. And what I was most excited about was just the stuff that I worked on in between the outings, I thought showed up today. I thought we had a good idea of where the top of the zone was. I threw way more curveballs. We got that pitch really involved in the game plan. So the stuff I worked on in between starts and on the side, I thought showed up, which excites me.
What's funny is as I was reading the quote, I thought to myself, in between innings? No, it should probably be in between outings. And I never corrected myself, so I apologize to both you and Tyone for misquoting him and for reading it wrong. Tyone was asked about his fastball-curveball combo, and this is what he had to say.
When you are able to elevate that fastball like you did at times tonight, how much more effective does that then make your curveball?
Yeah. Those two pitches pair really well together. You know, if you see like on Pitching Ninja and stuff where the high fastballs and curveballs really look the same out of the hand, so it makes the decision a little harder for the hitter. So I thought we had a pretty good fastball-curveball combo going, especially to the lefties.
And finally, Tyone was asked about last night's start and if it gives him confidence going forward.
Jameson, Aaron said that his faith in you hadn't changed from start to start. I'm just curious from your perspective, though, does a start like this give you more confidence as it kind of seems like another step forward from the past couple starts that you had?
Yeah. I remained confident even though my last start didn't go as planned. You know, I took a lot of stuff on the side and learned from some things, but you know, I'd obviously always rather do well and have the team win and contribute to that than, you know, put the team in a hole like I did in my last game. So it definitely feels good. But you know what I said to Mariners too, like I'm most excited about putting that work in on the side, seeing it show up in the game. And then if I can keep doing that for, you know, 30 starts or whatever that number is, you know, I think we'll be in a really good place going forward.
I mean, it seemed like the only two mistakes maybe you made all night with the two doubles, right, that got hit pretty hard. I mean, otherwise, it seemed like you were putting the ball pretty much where you wanted.
Yeah. I thought the at-bat to Heredia that ended in a double on a 3-2 slider, that one just kind of – that was weird. I kind of lost my release point for a second. And, you know, when you're at the bottom of the lineup, that just can't happen. And then turned it around and just kind of cut a fastball into Adrianza there. So, yeah, I thought other than that, I was in pretty good control.
Tyone's outing was positive. Again, only 80 pitches, but he pitched five innings. You want him to improve from start to start, and he definitely improved from his last time out to this time out. And as long as he's healthy and slowly building himself up, he could be a big asset to this team, and that's probably why Brian Cashman went after him, even with all the injury history and the risk. So once again tonight, Corey Kluber against Ian Anderson in the finale of this quick two-game series. Then the Yankees head out to Cleveland for four games, and I will have a preview of that series and a continuation of my conversation with Jeff Ellis of Locked On Indians on tomorrow's show. But for now, that's it for this episode of Locked On Yankees, which is part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'd like to remind you that you can listen to this show in Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Odyssey, Spotify, Stitcher, or anywhere else you get get your podcasts. And when you get into your car, you can tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On NFL Draft. One more thing, if you could be so kind, please rate the podcast and spread the word about this podcast to your fellow Yankee fans. We would really appreciate it. So enjoy your Wednesday, and I will talk to you all tomorrow. We'll be right back.